Amen. I have mixed emotions as well. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing, but at the same time, our hearts kind of break a little bit to be parting ways with so many close friends, and not just friends, but family that we've made here. So if you have your Bibles, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'll share with you just a little bit about the church. Preacher said that it's a young church. It's right at a year old, and a pastor that is, I believe he's a year older than Dr. Carter, started the church, had a burden for the area, and started the church, and God's been blessing. I'll share this with you. The city of Waycross is the county seat for Ware County. In the city of Waycross, there's 15,000 people in the city. In the county of Ware County, where Waycross is located, there's 55,000 people in the county. And it gets even better. The median age for the county is 35 years old, so it's a young place, a lot of young families. And out of a county that size, that populated, yes, there's churches all over, but as we drove around and Brother Mollis showed us the area so we could pray about it, everywhere we went, I said, "Brother Mollis, that's a bus route." And he'd take me to another part of town. I said, "There's another bus route." And he said, "Brother Stanley," he said, "believe it or not, with all the churches we have, there's not one bus ministry in Ware County." And so the fields are wide open, and we're excited about that. And we appreciate it if you'd pray for us, because we know the devil's going to be fighting and try to stop us. But we're excited, amen. I appreciate the opportunity to stand in the pulpit here and preach. And I love my pastor, amen. I love Dr. Carter, love Brother Stephen. And I'll say this, I want to say thank you to somebody who I don't think gets enough recognition for all they do. And that's Sister Carter, amen. Sister Carter, I believe that there isn't a church that could have a better pastor's wife than what this church has, amen. And I believe that Sister Paula's coming right up behind her. But I want to personally say thank you, Miss Carter, for being not just a friend and not just a pastor's wife, but for being family to me and my family. I thank you and I love you and I appreciate you. And those aren't just words. I mean it with all my heart. 1 Kings chapter number 17. We pick up here in chapter 1, and I'm going to hurry so we can be done on time. But I want to bring to you a message and try to encourage your hearts tonight and preach on a subject that God's really been dealing with my heart about. My wife and my family and I have really been experiencing lately. And I just want to try to be a blessing and encouragement and try to challenge you tonight. But in 1 Kings chapter number 17, we find the prophet Elijah comes on the scene. And he comes on the scene in perhaps the darkest days up to this time in Israel. And thank God for godly men that stand up even in the darkest of days, amen, that don't bow down. I thank God for that man there at Chick-fil-A that stood up and took a stand for right, amen, and made his voice be known, amen. That, I believe with all my heart, that's the American voice, I thank God for that. And I think about Elijah and how Elijah stood up there. If you were to go back one chapter to chapter 16, you'd find in verse 33 where the Bible says there was a wicked king, and the Bible says that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. He was a wicked man, a wicked king, and we know he had that wicked wife. But thank God we're going to find here in our passage, this very familiar passage of Scripture, that there was a faithful man that stood up even in a dark day. Look at me in verse number 1. The Bible says in verse 1 of 1 Kings 17, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my words." I'm going to go on, but I want to stop and make a statement here. I've read this passage of Scripture before, and it never really stood out to me, but the Lord pointed this out to me, that as Elijah stand before this wicked king, the most wicked king Israel had seen up to this day, he stands before him with boldness, and he takes a stand, and in that place where he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth," I want you to notice the words that follow. Before whom I stand. I always read that before, and I don't know, I guess I was just reading it in a hurry, and I thought that he was talking about before the king whom he stand. But that wasn't what he was saying. He was talking about the Lord God before whom he stood. Amen? He was saying, I believe with all my heart, that Elijah could go in the presence of wicked Ahab with boldness and with courage because he'd been in the prayer closet. He'd been walking with God. Amen? He said, the God before whom I stand, he was in the presence of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Elijah didn't get in the presence of the Lord just by accident. He didn't get there just by spending a moment or two a week or a day during the week on Sunday or Wednesday with the Lord. But I believe Elijah walked with the Lord, and that's why he could stand boldly before the king and say, King, listen, I have a good God, and I'm not afraid to stand before you. Amen. Because God was on his side. The Bible goes on in verse number 2. And said, as the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Look at verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. I'm going to stop reading there and turn the page. Look with me in verse 1 of chapter 18. Verse 1 of chapter 18 says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year. Notice that, in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. This evening, in the time that the Lord allows, I'd like to bring you a message and a few thoughts on the subject of when God says wait. When God says wait. You'll notice in verse 1 of chapter 18 that it had been 3 years that Elijah had been in waiting when God said, go show yourself. Amen. There's some things that we could notice here in the passage. You turn back to chapter 17 with me. I see some important things that stand out that I think would be good for us to grasp and get a hold of. I see that God did not only know Elijah, and I believe that God did know Elijah, but Elijah knew his God. Amen. Elijah knew his God. And can I tell you, Elijah didn't just know his God like you and I do during the times when we really need him, or even in the good times, but I believe Elijah knew his God all the time. Elijah knew his God to the point that he could even hear his voice. He knew his God when his God spoke. He was close enough to his God to hear his God speak. Well, I think that's where a lot of us need to be, amen. I think at times in my life where it would help me to be closer to the Lord, amen. And can I tell you, there's no sweeter time in my walk with the Lord than when I'm so close that I can hear Him so perfectly, amen. That's a blessing. Amen. You say, why do you say that he knew his Lord so close? Because if you look in verse number 5, the Bible says after God gave him instructions what he was to do, verse 5 says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Not only did he know his Lord, not only was he close enough to hear his voice, but he was close enough to be obedient to him. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's a lesson I believe that every Christian we ought to practice every day. Amen. Is being more obedient. As we've seen there in the text, Elijah is told to wait by God. He's sent there by the brook, and God tells him, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there, and you're to drink of the brook there. I've supplied your meal. I've supplied everything you need in order to live. And as I think about that, I think that sometimes we say, well, maybe Elijah went into hiding. Maybe God sent him into hiding because he knew Elijah would be afraid. Listen, Elijah wasn't afraid. He had the boldness of God to stand in the face of the king, amen, and share with him the things of God. I don't believe that he went into, that God made him wait because he was afraid. I don't believe that God made Elijah go there by the brook and spend that time there because he did anything wrong. I don't believe that at all. But instead, I believe that God had Elijah to go to those places in order to wait because God had a desired plan during Elijah's time of waiting. Amen. Did you get that? God had a desired plan in Elijah's life during this time of waiting. So many times when things happen in our lives, we get so upset and we get bitter because we're looking with our human eyes and we get looking at things with our human eyes that we miss the will of God. It's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to get out and look and say, God, do you really know what you're doing? God, do you really know what's best? And don't tell me you don't, amen. If you're a human being, there's times in every one of our lives when we come to that place. When instead we need to be obedient like Elijah and just determine in our heart that we serve a sovereign God that knows best. Amen. Amen. I believe that if we could go back, we didn't read all the way through for the sake of time, but God, after the brook dried up, God sent him there to Zarephath where he had that widow woman there waiting, and she would fix the meal, and that little boy that she had that had died, Elijah laid on him and prayed over him, and he came back to life. I believe with all my heart that if we could bring them right now before us and speak to that widow woman, that she would say, I sure thank God that Elijah was faithful to wait like God told him to wait. I thank God that he didn't get out of his will, but he was there. I'm sure that if we could go to that young man and speak to him today, that he would say, I thank God for a man of God that walked with God and was obedient to God and close enough to God to hear his voice speak. Because listen, he was made different. I see a picture of salvation there today, amen. I see a picture of me dead in my trespasses and sin, but thank God there's faithful men of God who shared the word of God, that shared the truth with me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to give you just a few thoughts, and I'll be simple with you. Simple can be. I'm just a simple country boy. Amen. I'm not very smart. You can ask Miss Harvey about that. Amen. I couldn't help it, ma'am. But I'm just simple, amen. And so I just want to bring to you a few simple thoughts to think about, and I pray that the Lord would bring them to your remembrance. Listen, you may not be in a place of waiting in your life right now, but I can promise you, if you live any amount of time for the Lord, there's going to be times in your life when God says, wait. I know there's times in the past that God said, wait. And I know there's going to be times in the future when God says, wait. And there's some lessons I think we can learn from this passage of Scripture about Elijah and how he reacted to God's command when God said, wait. I'll give you my first point. Point number one is this. Be obedient to God's instruction. Be obedient to God's instruction. I'm here to tell you, I'm a man. And don't ask my wife, and she better not amen me, amen, but I hate waiting. I can't stand, I'm impatient. I don't like waiting in line at the grocery store. I don't like going to Walmart and waiting in line. I don't like the theme parks because all the line. I don't like waiting at red lights, amen. Just being honest. I'm impatient, I don't like waiting. For so many of us, waiting is such a very undesirable thing in so many of our lives. You know what so many of us do when we face undesirable situations in our life? We start asking why. Why? We start questioning God. We question His goodness. We question if He really knows what's best. We question, hey, did you forget about me? But you know what we ought to do? We should remember that there's nothing that comes into our lives that God doesn't have a purpose for and a plan for, amen? Amen. Not a single thing, including the heartaches. I believe that every heartache that comes into our life that God has a plan and a purpose for. And even though I don't like waiting, as much as I don't like waiting, I know that there's some things, there's some times that waiting's for my own good. I think about red lights. I think about the guardrails at railroad crossings. I think about when I was a young boy, my brother was in high school, and he's 9 years older than me, and he was a senior in high school, and there was a boy and girl, a young man, young lady that were in his senior class, and he went to a very large high school, and it was a Friday night approaching graduation time, and this young man and young lady, they weren't boyfriend or girlfriend or any of that. They were like best of friends. They were like brother and sister. They did everything together, and they were real close. Their families were close, and it was a Friday night just before graduation. They decided that there was something going on where a lot of the school was going to be, and they wanted to be a part of it. And so they were heading there together, and this young man was driving, and he come to a particular railroad crossing there in our little old town, and that particular railroad crossing was known for the guardrails coming down, but no train coming. Everybody knew it. There would be times you may sit there 10 minutes and no train. Well, they pulled up to that guardrail at that particular crossing that Friday night, and they sat there for a moment, and they were in a hurry. They were anxious. They wanted to get to that place and socialize with the rest of their senior class and just to enjoy themselves. They're about to graduate, and as they're sitting there, the young man, he looks both ways, and I guess out of a hurry, he didn't see any trains coming, so he decided that he was going to cut in between the guardrails. And so he did that, and as he proceeded, and just as he got right on the top of the rails, the train came and hit and killed both of them instantly. Listen, sometimes waiting's for our own good. That young man was impatient. He didn't want to wait. And you know what happened as a result? Not only did his life get ended, but his friend's life got ended. Not only did their lives end, but listen, their families were forever changed. The school was forever changed. Everybody who knew them was affected because they got impatient and they didn't want to wait even when it was best for them. You know, that's there's a great lesson to be learned there in that. There's a great spiritual lesson to be learned. You know, so many times church members, they get anxious, and sometimes, you know, I don't think I have to share this with you, but God don't always give the church member the vision that he gives the pastor. He don't always reveal to the people what he reveals to the pastor. And sometimes as church folk, we get anxious and we don't understand why the pastor does what he does and why he's waiting to do what he's doing and why he don't do what he ought to do and all these other things. And so you know what happens? We get upset and we think, you know, he's just not... Something's wrong with him. He ought to see what he ought to be doing. And so we get disgruntled in a matter of time. The devil uses them spirits, and sometimes it's different people in the church, amen. And they'll come and they'll say, can you believe that the pastor's doing this? And can you believe he's not doing that? And all of a sudden you get disgruntled. Maybe a wife gets upset because somebody in the nursery treated the little baby wrong, and she goes to the husband, I'm fed up. I'm not putting up with it no more. We just need to leave. We need to go. And before long, you have people slipping out, and they're leaving church and they're getting out of church. You say, where are you going, preacher? Well, hang on, I'm getting there. What happens in a matter of time, preacher, I know, and you know people right now, I can call them by name, families. I'm not talking about just a dad and not talking about just a mom, but entire families that are out of church because somebody got impatient and didn't want to wait. I can take you to the doorstep and knock on the door and introduce you to them. They said, we're going to find another church for, has more youth for our kids, another church that gets a little loose, Brother Matt, and lets us have a little more fun music. Maybe don't make us wear these skirts and these ties, and they don't push soul winning, and they don't do this and that. We're going to find a better place, but you know what? There is no better place than the place God planted you. The first question I always ask when somebody says, I'm leaving, I say, where are you going? And 99.9% of the time, Dr. Carter, the answer is, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going, but there's someplace I'm going. You'd better stop, amen. If that's you tonight, you better stop and evaluate the situation. You better check up and see if you're as close to God as you ought to be. You better make sure that you're close enough to hear His voice. Another thing, you better make sure that's God's voice telling you to go. I've heard people say, well, when the question's asked, where are you going? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to go out by faith. Hey, there's nothing wrong with stepping out on faith. But can I tell you, there's a great difference between stepping out on faith and stepping out of God's will. Yeah. I've seen a lot of people that use faith as an excuse to get out. And you know what? They're floundering around like a fish out of water. Yes, sir. Hey, and it's easy, amen. It's easy when God says wait to get to a place that you don't know what to do and you're just unsatisfied and you just know you're not happy here and you don't like waiting. Well, can I tell you, just wait a little bit longer, amen. Amen. Can I tell you, you ought to stay right where you are until God moves you? And by the way, can I tell you this, that God won't move you until he has another place prepared for you to go to. Preacher, how do you know? I see it in the scripture, amen. I see in the passage of scripture here in verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. God told Elijah, I want you to go and wait by the brook, and I'm going to provide for you. And by the way, I've never been in a place in my life where God said wait that he didn't provide while I was waiting. Yeah. Amen. I mean, he provided for me physically, spiritually, financially, and everything I had need of. My God's always supplied all my needs.
Amen, brother. Amen.
God said, I want you to go down there by the brook and you wait there. And then when the brook dried up and the ravens quit bringing the fish, whatever it was they were bringing, he said, now I want you to go to Zidon. Did you get that? Another good lesson to learn is Elijah stayed put. You know, it would have been real easy for Elijah to look at the brook and see that it's starting to dry up, and instead of getting so much water in his cup, he's starting to get a lot more sand and a lot more sediments, and maybe the ravens aren't bringing food as much as they ought to. Maybe it's not tasting as good as he ought to. He could have said, I've had enough of this. I mean, I'm going back, and I'm going to go back into town, and I'll eat good, and I'll live good. But thank God he stayed faithful, because when God said, now I want you to go to Zidon, to Zarephath. I've got a widow woman and a little boy there. Thank God he was faithful to wait, and then he was faithful to go when God said go. Amen. Because he made a difference in the lives of people because he was obedient.
Amen.
Elijah stayed where God sent him until God prepared a place for him to move to. I told you, I know folks that are out of church right now can take you to their doorstep because they got anxious. And can I share this with you? This is just a little timeout. I'll just inject this in. 99.9% of the people that get upset and leave, they don't even know what they're upset at. They don't have the. You ask them, what is the problem? They'll start rambling off, and when it comes down to it, they really can't give you a definite problem. But I can give you the problem. The problem is somewhere along the line, they've got away from God. They've got away from the will of God. They got away from being close enough to God to be able to hear God speak. That's a dangerous place to be. Number two, when God says wait, don't sit down on God. When God says wait, don't sit down. I want you to notice that the Bible says that Elijah waited on God. But I see something in this passage of Scripture. I see that when Elijah waited on God, get this now, he waited on God. I'm not talking about he waited like you and I wait when we go over to Fred's to eat at the buffet and there's a long line and maybe they tell us we got to wait 30 minutes in the waiting area. He didn't wait like that. But instead, he waited like the waitress waits and the waiter waits. When we get to the table, we sit down and our silverware's there and our plates are there. They bring us our tea and our Coke. They bring us our whatever we need to go with it. What are they doing? They're waiting on us. Can I tell you what they're doing? They're serving. Can I tell you what Elijah did while he waited? He served God. When we wait, listen, so many times it's so easy to say, you know, I'm just going to have myself a little pity party and I'll be real stingy and selfish and I'll just sit down over here in the corner and because I'm waiting, I just won't do anything at all. Can I tell you, you're missing a blessing. And not only are you missing a blessing, but you're missing a blessing of seeing someone else be blessed by you being a blessing to them.
Amen.
Can you imagine what you say, how did Elijah serve God? How did he wait on God there by the brook? I believe that he served God by being faithful in prayer, by staying close to him, by fellowshipping with him. That's serving God. It sure is. That's serving God. When he went there to Zarephath, he served God. Not only did he serve God, but listen, can I tell you, it do us a world of goods to stop just serving ourselves and start serving others around us. Boy, Jesus is the greatest testimony of that. Amen. He didn't come to be served, but he came to serve others.
Amen.
I think about a preacher here in Florida that I know that's, I guess he may be 80 years old now, but not long ago, I've preached for him several times, and he's an older man and planted a church, and God's really blessed him and blessing their ministry there, but he's growing old and having health problems, has problems with his eyesight, can't see. He's getting to the point where he has to have somebody else stand up and read scripture for him, and he's had a stroke, and he has blood pressure problems. He's been on dialysis and everything else, and he's just hanging on and serving the Lord. And I remember I preached for him one Sunday, and he took me out to lunch after in between services, and we're sitting there, and I said, "Brother, what are your plans? What are you can't, I know you can't keep going on." And he said, "I know I can't." He said, I'm praying that God, I'm not looking, but I'm praying God would provide the man that he'd have to take this ministry. I'm not hunting, I'm waiting on God, and I'm praying that God would send that man." I said, "Brother, what's your plans whenever that man comes? Are you going to stay here and work in the church, or what are you going to do?" He said, "No." He said, I don't have liberty to do that. I believe the Lord's leading me to go back to the town I'm from and to my wife and I to unite with a local independent fundamental Bible-believing church there." And he said, "I'm just going to get in plugged in there." And I'm thinking, he's telling me that he's going to sit down, but instead he said, "I'm going to be a support of the pastor. I want to go soul winning. I want to preach nursing home. I want to do whatever I can do to be a blessing to the pastor." And I'm thinking, "Brother, if anybody has a right to sit down and coast the rest of the way, it's you, but you're talking about going on." And before the conversation was over, he said this to me. He said, "Brother," he said, "I know I'm getting old and I'm approaching my home going, and I know it's just a matter of time before God calls me home, but," he said, "I can't just sit down on God while I'm waiting on God. I can't just sit down and not do anything. I've served him all these years and he's been good to me all these years." He said, "I don't want to quit now. I just want to keep on serving while I'm waiting." Can I tell you, that'd be a real good thing for us to get a hold of, amen? There's too many Christians sitting down on God. Listen, there's older folks here I know that, and the church is growing old as a whole and folks are dying off. And I know the older crowd that once did a lot, they can't do as much. And I respect you and I thank you for all you've done, but can I tell you, there's still an awful lot you can do. You may not be able to go out there and dig a ditch. You may not be able to build a steeple. You may not be able to lay carpet anymore, but can I tell you, I'm reminded of two men. I remember when Israel went to war and their leader Moses, he every time he lifted the rod, the Bible said Israel prevailed, but his arms got weary and they got tired as their leader was trying to serve and watch over. And so two great men, two great helpers came up and they saw the need, and so they sat him down and they decided they would hold up his arms to where Israel would prevail. Can I tell you what the church needs today? Isn't a bunch of sitters, but we need some men that will come behind Dr. Carter and Brother Stephen, and they would help prop up their arms instead of criticizing and saying, "You're not doing it the way you ought to do it. You're not doing it the way that one did it." You ought to just get behind them and hold up their arms and say, "Praise God, just keep on going on." That's what the church needs. Hey, there ain't a person here that is incapable of doing that. Hey, but don't use that as an excuse, young people, not to do anything. Deacons, Sunday school teachers, don't sit down on God. Don't say, "I've served my time. Now I'm going to take a sabbatical. Now I'm going to take a break. I've done enough." Hey, thank God that Jesus, when he was hanging there on that cross, he didn't say, "Hey, I've had enough. I've done enough. I've served my time. It's time for me to go on up home." Thank God he stuck it through. Amen.
Amen. Right.
Preacher boys, listen, don't sit down on God. Don't get to a place you say, I can just coast on through now. Keep on serving God. You say, "But preacher, God hasn't revealed the place he has me to serve." Well then, listen, my advice to you is this. You just stay right here where God planted you, and you keep on serving right here until he moves you. Amen.
Amen.
"Oh, but preacher, I'm discouraged. And preacher, this and that. And preacher, hey, can I ask you this? What widow woman's going to die and go to hell because you were impatient, didn't want to wait, you didn't want to serve? Hey, what widow woman's little boy is going to perish and spend eternity in the devil's hell because we want to have a little pity party and say, 'I've had enough and I've done enough'? Listen, we need to keep on going, amen. We need to keep on serving even when undesirable things come in our life."
Yeah.
While we're waiting, there's a widow who needs you. While you're waiting, There's boys and girls that need you. And let me just plug this in there, not part of the message. But while we're waiting, there's a world that needs us.
Amen.
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 My third point, I'll close. Don't get discouraged. Listen, if anybody knows how easy it is to get discouraged when God says, wait, it's me. Man, there's been in the last 6-8 months, there's been some discouraging days. I didn't even want to get out of bed. But there was a cause greater than I. It's so easy to get discouraged. Turn with me over 2 chapters to your right to chapter 19. Chapter 19, the Bible says in verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he'd slain all the prophets with a sword. You remember that great testimony of the great God and the great power of Elijah's God there on Mount Carmel. Verse 2 says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he had arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And verse 4 says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested of for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. What happened? It wasn't too long ago that Elijah just had that great victory there on Mount Carmel. It wasn't too long ago that he saw his God provide there by the brook. It wasn't too long ago that he saw the barrel not go empty. He saw the cruise not go empty. He saw a little boy raised from the dead. Victories in his life. Can I tell you this? Listen, when you get discouraged, when God says wait and you get discouraged, you know the best thing we can do? Go back to those victories.
Amen.
Hey, one of the best things to do when we get discouraged is I go back to that night that I got on the altar and I got saved. And I remember the greatest victory that has ever happened in my life when Jesus saved my soul.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Hey, no matter how bad it gets here, I'm not going to spend eternity in a lake of fire.
Amen.
Go back to those days. Go back to those victories. Brother Carter, I think about Restore-a-thon. Boy, what a blessing Restore-a-thon is on Saturday night about 12 o'clock when you're $100,000 short and in a matter of 10 minutes, God brings it in. Hey, that's a victory I go back to. I think about 3 years ago on Anniversary Sunday when the attendance records were broke and hundreds were saved and the buses were packed and packed. That's a victory I go back to. I go back to the day that my little baby boy was laying on a hospital bed and the doctor said it's a moment by moment. We don't know what's going to happen. And my daddy come down and Dr. Carter came up and they gathered around his bedside and they prayed. And the next morning the doctor said, there's no reason why I can't go home. That's a victory I go back to.
Amen.
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 But discouraging times are going to come when the devil's going to try to get in our hearts and in our minds and in our life and try to discourage us. Elijah got to the place, he said, hey, God, just take my life. God, I'm trying to serve you, and look what's happening. Hey, and let me throw this in there. There's going to be times when you serve the Lord, listen, that there's going to be people that put their finger in your face and say, I'm going to destroy you. I was here when you came, and I'll be here when you left, and they speak nothing but evil of you. Listen, don't allow that stuff to stop you and discourage you and distract you, but just keep on going. Look right through them to the cross of Calvary, amen? Elijah just got done with those victories, but now he's discouraged, and he wishes himself dead. Look with me now. Look down to verse 9. Verse 9 says, and he came hither unto a cave, and lodged there. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Whew. I've been there. I've been there when I was in the corner having myself a pity party, and woe is me, and why me? What did I do to deserve all this? And God come along and said, what are you doing here? Don't you remember? Don't you remember all I've done in the past? Hey, don't you remember the promises of the future?
Amen.
What are you doing here? What doest thou here, Elijah? Verse 10 says, and he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of the host. For children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I, am left, and they seek my life too. Elijah said, everybody else is forsaken you, Lord. I'm the only one left. God hadn't yet revealed to him that, listen, he had some other faithful servants. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, when you feel like you're the only one left, you just keep on going.
Yes.
Because, listen, God has his faithful. Amen.
Amen.
He has his servants.
Amen.
And he's going to keep on blessing. He's going to keep on meeting needs. Some of us have experienced these things just like Elijah when God says, wait. We get impatient. And so many times it's so easy to get out of God's will. It's so easy to get upset and want to throw in the towel and quit. Even right now tonight, there's probably some that are on the verge of giving up because it doesn't appear that you're hearing from God. Well, I've been praying. I've been seeking God's face, and I've been seeking his will, and God, where would you have me to go? And I just want to get busy and serve. Listen, I know those feelings. I know that, amen. I know what that's like. But get this, and don't miss it. Verse number 11 says, and he said, this is God speaking to Elijah, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Boy, if you're going to serve God, you're going to go through the storms. There's going to be stormy days in life. There's going to be stormy seasons where it seems like the winds won't quit and the rain won't stop and the fire is burning you and you're being held to the fire and it seems like there's no end to it. The Bible says that God showed him the storm and he showed him the earthquake and he showed him the fire. But the passage of Scripture said that God wasn't in any of that. But get this, thank God if we'll just stay faithful in the storm, if we'll be faithful when the earth shakes around us, if we'll be faithful when we're put to the fire, thank God. Listen, there's coming a time if we'll stay faithful that we'll hear that still small voice. Well, I think about that song that some of the girls used to sing here. Even in the valley, God is good. Boy, in my life, I wouldn't trade those valleys for anything in the world. I was talking to Brother Stephen once about this, and he talked about how the hard times, how they draw you closer. Boy, how true that is. Isn't it a sad thing that sometimes God has to put us through those things in order to draw us closer? But we need to remember this. And no matter what we're going through, and no matter what lot that's dealt to us, God has a plan purpose. He's a sovereign God. And if you're saved, you're his child. And he's not going to allow anything to happen to you. Amen. He's going to be faithful. Yes, you may have to go through the fire. You may have to go through the earthquake and the storm. But thank God, through it all, there's that still small voice. Would you bow your heads with me? For the believer, there'll be times when God will say, wait. Because he has a purpose he wants to fulfill in your life and through your life. But can I tell you this? If you're here tonight and you're lost, for the lost person, God will never say, wait. But he says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Listen, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, It's going to seem as though you're going through the storms by yourself, that you're going through the earthquake and the fire, because you are. But the good news is you don't have to, because God is faithful, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't know, maybe there's some here tonight that are believers, that you've been anxious and maybe you've moved ahead of God and you've got out of God's will. The good thing is, listen, God will receive you. If you'll just turn back, come back and ask Him to forgive you, listen, God will restore that fellowship again. And listen, you know as well as I do, there's no sweeter place than right in the middle of God's will. Jesus, I love you, dear God, and I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. And Lord, I thank you for this message. Lord, I thank you for the fact that before I ever preached it, you preached it to me. And Lord, it's been a blessing to me. I pray that it'd be a blessing to others. Help others to make decisions they may need.